Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word. Of course, I want you to holler at me, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You're a little afraid to call and talk to me? I understand that. Feel free to email me your questions, comments, concerns at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. You know, I always ask you also, if you want to stay in contact with me, you want to talk to me a little bit, feel free to join my Smooth Drama page on Facebook. Also, just Google Smooth Drama. Wherever you find Smooth Drama, add me. I'll add you back. We can talk and taste on it because I just want to be your friend. Can we be friends? Can we play together? Anyway. Just hit me up. Or you can just jump in. If you're ghost listening like some of you do, just jump into the chat room and say what you're going to say. And I will get back to you. That I can promise. In the meantime, everybody's up in arms. Behind the Donald Trump and golden showers thing. Not that that's not funny, but you know, everybody's, oh, the golden showers. You know, and the myth is that urine is sterile, but that's actually not the truth. Urine is not sterile. It came from a 1950 research study on urinary tract infections in the 1950s. And even then, according to the report, the scientists only believed that urine was sterile if it came from people without urinary tract infections. You hear that? Not saying no names, but, you know, people who let R. Kelly pee on them and stuff, you better hope he don't have that UTI. Anyway, in a 2014 study, it suggests that all urine has some level of bacteria. And researchers from Loyola University found that urine taken directly from the bladder of healthy women contained bacteria, including types that are not picked up by traditional UTI tests. Yeah. So, there you go. So if you was thinking, hey, it's sterile, nope. You are getting just a little bit of bacteria. I hope it's tasty and refreshing. Anyway, I don't know why I'm talking about this. I better let it go before one of my past guest hosts call in and be like, hey, let's talk about nope. We're not going to do it. but the fact that, yeah, urine is not sterile. Never has been, never will be. So know who you're letting pee on you, people. Know who you're letting pee on you. Better make sure that they're eating healthy. Oh, I'm grossing myself out. Oh, now, I did see something where they were talking about how doctors want to learn more about treating transgender patients. And this is according to another one of these surveys. You know, because, of course, they're saying that transgender patients have complaints with the care that they receive. And they're saying because they're experiencing severe and serious discrimination or bias. And this is according to some recent survey of nearly 30,000 people released in December. They say the negative experiences range from verbal harassment, physical or sexual assault, and refusal of treatment. And they're talking about having to educate doctors about transgender people. I'm like, not to downgrade it, but you know, if you're a transgender person, if you have not had the operation, you are kind of what you are, right? I mean, I'm feigning ignorance, and maybe somebody can call in or email me and tell me otherwise, but if you're a transgender man and you have a vagina, you would kind of be treated like someone with a vagina. And if you're a transgender woman, but you still have a penis, would you not still be treated like you still have a penis? I mean, I'm trying to think, what are you educating the doctors on? There's what you say you are, and then there's what you just are. I mean, if you have a penis, that means you have that extra testosterone and you're looked at as a male. What you're wearing means nothing. I mean, I have a dick and balls. I can say I'm a transgender woman, but at the end of the day, if I go for a checkup, they're still going to grab my balls and tell me to cough. Right? You're a female, but you say you're a transgender man, you're still going to get a pap smear, right? Breast exam? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm looking at it way too simply, but it seems like it's really simple. But nothing was more Mike Tyson ludicrous than there are some Microsoft staff who are suing Microsoft because they're saying that they're suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder after working at Microsoft. Because their jobs involve viewing and reporting material that have been flagged by automated software as being potentially illegal. And they're saying that this imagery, and them trying to protect internet users, is what put them through PTSD. Now, not hating on the job that you did. I'm sure you saw some stuff that was just like, whoo, I can't imagine. But when I think of PTSD, I think of folks who were at war, bullets were flying, people were shooting at them, and bombs were going off. You have a hard time sleeping, and you're scared to death because shit, you don't know where that bomb coming from. Some fool gonna jump out and try to shank you. I mean, that's PTSD to me. Seeing some nasty stuff on the internet, shit, that's a daily operation right there. I don't work in the job. I'm not gonna pretend that I've seen some stuff that may potentially be horrific and scarring, but as somebody that gets on the internet, you see some scary stuff that could be potentially scarring, I guess, if you're soft like that. I mean, these gentlemen seem kind of cotton candy-ish. I'm going to say their names. Henry Soto and Greg Blewart. And if I said his name wrong, I don't care. Anyway, they work for Microsoft's online safety team, and that division was responsible for upholding the firm's legal obligation to pass on any illegal images to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And I'm like, look, you may have seen some kids being exploited. That doesn't mean you have PTSD. See, PTSD means that you were exploited. They had your grown ass held hostage and doing unspeakable things, looking at unspeakable things, and have them happening to you. I'm thinking that they're not really related. Because, yeah, I could sit up here and complain about gun violence, whatnot, and talk about how horrific it is, but I can't claim PTSD because nobody's shooting at me daily. I can honestly say that I don't live somewhere where people are shooting all the time, and I feel like I have to sleep in my bathtub sometimes just in case bullets is flying. That's not how I'm living. I can't say I've ever been in them circumstances. So maybe I'm bougie. I don't know. I guess that's what people would call it now. I was bougie because nobody was shooting at me and I could talk about it. I don't know, but these cats right here, they're talking about, I saw some pictures and it just, I couldn't take it. I assume I had to look at those kids. The kids, the fucking kids. Like, come on. Anyway, I'm done with that. Y'all need to put your big boy boxers on. And if you're just walking around old natural, you probably just, you need to wear some drawers, but maybe just put some Pampers on. Just in case the, you know, bird goes, and you get so scared you pee your shit on yourself. It seems like y'all them kind of people. Anyway, San Diego Chargers. Oh, what can you say about the San Diego Chargers? They decided, you know what? We're going to move to L.A. Because, you know, all those San Diego Charger fans in L.A. just falling all over themselves, calling for the Chargers like, yeah, we can't wait till y'all come. And the funny thing about it, Dean Spanos, the owner, the NFL gave him $300 million to, as far as to go towards a stadium, and there were proposals for like $1.2 billion, whatnot, and they're going to pay a $650 million relocation fee. So that comes up to what, about $950 million? So for about $300 million more, you could have had the whole shebang. Right? Anyway, but now you're going to share L.A., who didn't care about their team in the first place. And caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How can I help you?
Hey, how's it going? Let me turn off my speaker.
All right.
How you doing? Drama?
I'm good. You? Who am I speaking to?
You're speaking with Sid from San Diego.
All right. My Godzilla,
now,
homie, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well. Thank you.
Right.
Hey, let me go ahead and make a comment, if I could.
Yes, sir.
You know, I saw people today burning jerseys, burning jackets, burning flags of the Chargers. I'm like, I told my wife, Linda, is like, damn, where are they burning that stuff? I could go grab some stuff. As long as it's not burned, I don't care. Man, I spent some good money on this stuff. I'm still a Charger fan. go to L.A. It's going to save me a lot of money here. And hopefully I don't have to buy the red zone ticket. But if I do, it's still going to save me money.
So you're going to remain a fan even though they decide to leave San Diego?
Okay. Absolutely. I was a fan of the players, fan of the coaches. I'm not a fan of Spanos. I don't care how many billions he makes. You know, I'm a Chargers fan. Let's go, poor Raider fans. Switched 3 times already. They're going to switch a fourth probably pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm of the belief actually that if my team leaves, as a Saints fan, if they leave New Orleans like they were talking about going to San Antonio, I'm not burning my gear, but I would donate it to the homeless. I'll never reach that team ever again. But that's just me. I'm like, hey, I'll just pick somebody else. I mean, I'm like that with the Utah Jazz because they used to be the New Orleans Jazz. So I would hate them forever and ever.
No. But you know what? I think the Saints probably have a stronger allegiance to New Orleans, or New Orleans has a stronger allegiance to the Saints than we do to the Chargers. You know, I mean, shit, the Saints have been through a lot. Over here in San Diego, as you know, it's sunny all the time. It's perfect. There's, you know, weather wise. But and there's so many other things to do. And when I go to a Charger game, there's so many more other fans from Kansas City, Chicago.
Right.
Come on, they want to come to paradise.
Right. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, because if I'm not mistaken, wasn't L.A. like the second least attended games in the league behind only like Jacksonville? It's like,
yeah.
So it's going to be two of y'all in a place that don't want you.
Well, let me put that in perspective. The L.A. Raiders, but damn, they were playing in a place that could house 100 grand. So, yeah, they probably only held probably like 50 grand.
Okay.
You know, on a good day.
No, I don't think they had 50 grand.
Yeah, probably not. But
yeah.
I mean, I've been to a Raider game. I've been to a Raider game in Oakland. Actually for a concert out in Oakland Coliseum. And I sat up there in Mount Davis and at the very, very top for a Rolling Stones concert. And I don't think they've sat a Raider fan up there for as long as they opened up there. But now the Chargers are going to try and fill up, what is it? I don't know, Carson? It's like 25,000?
Yeah, they're talking about StubHub, which I think gets the 25,000, 27,000.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah, but you know, hey, as a Charger fan, hey, I'm still a Charger fan. Come on, man. I'm not a Spanos fan. You know, whatever.
All right.
It's cool. I'll still watch it.
Okay.
And
well,
I love your show, man.
Thank you, man. And, tell Linda I said hello, and Godzilla Shin.
I will, man. I will. I'm going to keep listening.
All right, man. Thank you for calling.
Hey, go Chargers. Real quick. I have a feeling we're going to make the playoffs this year.
Okay.
Let me hang up off the air so I can laugh off the air. Thank you, man.
All right, man.
Be good. Love you, man.
Love you too, man. Oh man, that's Die Hard right there. That is Die Hard right there. He said the Chargers gonna make the playoffs. He's still a fan of his team. The caller that called in, sorry, I cut you off. Feel free to call back. In the meantime, I'm gonna break on that one. Chargers gonna make the playoffs. Woo! This is Tri Call Quest. I left my wallet in El Segundo.
Okay, so get down. Okay, so let's start with this. What's your name? Cupid. Where are you going? Where are you going with?
Me, I left my wallet in El Segundo. My wallet in El Segundo. My my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it. I gotta get it. My mother went away for a month-long trip. Cutting some frames on an ocean liner ship. She made a big mistake by leaving me home. I had to roam, so I picked up the phone. Got Ollie up to see what was going down. So hit my pick him up so we could drive around. Put the Dodge Dart, a 74. My mother left the yard, but I needed one more. Shaheed had me covered with a 100 green back. So we left Brooklyn and we made big tracks. Go down the belt, got on the conduit. Came through a toll with paid and went through it. Had no destination, we was on a quest. I leave late in the back so he can get rest. Drove down the road for 2 days and a half. The sun had just risen on a dusty path. Just sent a picture, had caught my eye. A mirror for Sombrero who was 4 feet high. I pulled over to ask where we was at. This index finger, he tipped off his hat. Held the gun though, he said, my name is Pedro. If you need directions, I'll tell you. Prosto need a civilization, some sort of reservation. He said a mile south, there's a fast food station. Thanks to your, as I thought, since the motor Ali said,
well, it describes to me what the wallet looks like.
Anyway, a gas station we passed, we got gas, and went on to eat grub. It was a nice little pub in the middle of nowhere. Anywhere would have been better. I ordered enchiladas and I ate them. Ali had the fruit punch. When we finished, we thought for ways to get back. I had a hunch. Ali said, pay for lunch. So I did it. Pulled out the wallet and I saw this wicked, beautiful lady. She was a witness there. Put the wallet down and stared and stared. She put me back into reality. Here's Shaheed.
Yo, Tip, man, you got what you need?
I checked for keys and started to check. Well, what do you know? My wallet, I forget. Yo, it was a brown wallet. Had prop numbers. Had my Jimmy hats. I gotta get it, man. Lord have mercy. Things got hotter. Ali started to curse me. I feel bad, but he makes me feel badder. Shit, shit, shatter. Car starts to scatter. Breaking on out, we went northeast bound. Jetting on down at the speed of sound. 3 days coming and three more going. We get back and there was no slack. 490, man. Madison. We're here, Shah. He said, all right, just see you tomorrow. Thinking about the past week, the last week. Hands over in my pocket, I can't speak. Hop in the car and torpedo to the shack. The Shaheed, we gotta go back. When he said why, I said we gotta go. Cause I left my wallet in El Segundo. Yeah, I left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. I gotta get it, I got to get it. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go.
Together you got to move, drummer.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama. It's your host, Mr. F, the N-word. That was Tribe Called Quest. Left my wallet in El Segundo. Gotta get it. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Now, of course, I still have to address the San Diego Chargers. I mean, I get it. I know everybody's... Not everybody has the same opinion. I mean, I think the difference between, because, you know, New York area, and it's funny I say New York because both the teams playing like New Jersey. It's not actually New York, but it's neither here nor there. They can support, I mean, because the areas are about the same. You know, you start talking about 10 million people there, 10 million people, 10 to 12 million people in both locations. Only thing is, Cali, Southern California in particular, has beautiful weather. beaches, and an inordinate amount of things to do. So, one team in LA, the reason why they left in the first place when they were the Los Angeles Rams, when they were in Anaheim, it was just because, well, the support and plus Georgia Frontier was, she went for the money grab in St. Louis. You know, moved from the number one, number two market in the country to go to St. Louis. And, of course, they come back, but there was no clamor for them. And, yeah, if you're winning, folks will come to an extent. But the overall pull for that area, that area was mostly Raider fans. They love the Raiders. And that's because when they were there, Raiders were winning. These guys are not winning. So, I don't know. And then you're talking about two teams. Can that area really support two teams? I guess time will tell. I think I got a call. Paula, you're on the air. Welcome to Smooth Drama. How can I help you?
Hello. My name is Bart. And I was wondering if you are interested in a new CD called Childhood Memories of the 80s. We have all your favorite songs from the sitcoms that you would like this one. Cheers, my friend.
Okay. Whew. All righty then. See, that call was a testimony to why you should stay off of crack. Just say no. Because like Nancy Reagan was saying, just say no, because she knew how big of a drug dealer her husband was, and she knew how bad it was, all the folks that were strung out all around her. So that's why she's like, this is your brain on drugs, because she saw it day after day after day when Ronald Reagan was out there slanging them packs. Yo, 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 got them red tops anyway. Whoever you Bart, whatever, don't do it. See, because once again, that crack will get you out there like Bubba. Have you sucking dick in the alley somewhere. Do people hang out in alleys anymore? You don't really see alleys. Out here in Cali, I'm in the Bay Area in particular. So maybe it's not alleys. Maybe like behind like taco shops or something. And you just prostituting, sucking dick, and getting hit behind dumpsters so you can feed your habit or trying to sell them CDs. Yo, I suck your dick if you buy a CD. No, stop it. Back to what I was talking about before I was interrupted. No, I'm of the belief that you go where there's a clamoring for you. Like when they're saying the Raiders are talking about going to Las Vegas, there's a clamoring from the people for the Raiders. The Raiders are a distinctive brand. The Chargers are not so distinctive a brand. You have no Super Bowl legacy. You don't have like a winning culture. There's nothing that would make folks like, yeah, I want to in a new place. See, San Diego, they've been there forever. So you have generations. You got a couple generations of people who grew up in the Chargers is it. L.A.? No, they were in L.A. for 1 year. And then they went to San Diego. So, I don't know. I'll be interested to see how that goes. Two teams sharing that same area that didn't really want you. But hey, it's not my thing. It is theirs. But now I get to go to my favorite part of the show where I get to talk about my dumb ass of the week. All right. just gotta get that last burp in. His dumbass of the week was a team who was touring a closed, as they describe it, they were a couple of teenagers in Illinois were exploring the Joliet Correctional Center, which had been closed since 2002. So they're there exploring, you know, walking around, probably doing drugs, you know, and went into one of the empty prison cells and shut the door behind her. So after shutting the door behind her and seeing they can't get out, they called the fire department because they didn't want to call the police because they didn't want to get in trouble. And so firefighters came, used a sledgehammer to break down a brick wall to free her. But I'm not going to, I wouldn't normally use racism, but I'm going to guess that they were not black, because black folks wanting to tour a jail, that's just like, nah. I mean, because I've had a chance to, like, go to Alcatraz, and I'm sitting up there like, why would I do that? I have no interest in seeing a jail. It's like, oh yeah, this is where they used to lock your people up. Woo! That's awesome. Anyway, yeah. Teens, stay out of jail. Don't even explore jails, because you may lock yourself in, and if you don't have cell phone service, maybe shit out of luck there. I don't know. I thought that was funny. Like, woo, you lock it. You went into a cell and shut the door on yourself. Awesome. Not. Now I move on to my hater of the week. And, you know, normally the dumbass of the week comes out of Florida. I haven't had anything to say about Florida lately, but Florida is back on the map. You know, Orlando man tried to cover up his wife's murder by posing as her and posting messages on her Facebook page. It looked like she was still alive. George McShane, apparently he had first, on January the 7th, he listed himself as single on his Facebook page and wrote on his wife's wall, "I can't believe I dropped my phone in the toilet. I'm such an idiot. Message me here till I can get it fixed." And he of course told detectives he also sent messages to her family and friends to convince them that she was still alive. This Tuesday, 3 days after the post, police arrested him on charges of domestic battery by strangulation and second-degree murder. These dudes. I mean, you think about that. You can't just break up. You got to kill somebody. And then pretending to be her. One, you're a candidate for dumbass of the year to think that, oh, well, nobody's going to know. They're not going to figure out that that's not her post and whatnot. And if I'm not mistaken, when a spouse dies, is not the spouse the first suspect? I mean, is there ever a case where the spouse, mate, not the first suspect. I mean, am I the only one that knows that? Or maybe I'm the only one who used to watch Law and Order and the thousands of repeats that come on every day on like 14 different channels. It's like you can watch Law and Order every day, all day, easy. There's so many of it. It's like it's disgusting propaganda, but nonetheless, George McShane, may he get cancer in the balls, and the dick, and the throat, the breasts, fingers, all cancer in his cuticles. He deserves that. Just because, you know, just break up. You ain't gotta kill nobody. Just break up. You know. Moving on to happier thoughts. The war on whites, apparently, because people are criticizing Jeff Sessions, who is Trump's attorney general nominee. Representative Mo Brooks said Democrats who are criticizing him were lying to advance their political agenda as part of their war on whites. Now, I mean, this is a dude who has been accused of racism in the past and condemned by civil rights leaders for his anti-immigration views and disagreement with the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a record of not liking people of non-Caucasian descent. But, you know, not liking him and saying it's war on whites and you know, that the racial language that's put out there now is kind of funny. It's like saying, oh, well, you don't like this particular person, so that means you're anti-white. It's a war on whites. I mean, you know, that was part of that ridiculous argument, you know, that people used during the Trump campaign. And hell, convicted serial killer, because he killed more than one person. Dylann Roof used that same thing. Like, he felt like he had to defend white people from black people who were in Bible study. So, I mean, this is the branch of the tree there. Now, it may not seem like they're related, but if you look at the pieces and how it goes down in the language, talking about war on whites and, you know, when they say reverse racism, it's like, no, if I'm not mistaken, this is normally the process. One party puts somebody up for appointment and the other party shoots them down and picks them apart for whatever. I mean, I thought that was just part of the political process, but obviously I'm wrong. It's actually a war on whites because a racist guy is being put up for office. I mean, and the funny thing is everybody that he has appointed for office is the exact opposite of what the office is. Like, you know, attorney general, the guy who's supposed to protect people's rights, is a guy who don't give a damn about people's rights. It's like, okay. Ben Carson, minority housing, he's a surgeon. and the dude who's supposed to protect the environment, he's anti-environmentalist. It's like, okay. I mean, it's like everybody that's appointed is a hater of whatever he's appointed to, or just don't know anything about it, just totally unqualified. I mean, this might be the most epic 4 years ever. It's like, I know some folks don't understand it, but I used to live for George Bush speeches because he was like Mike Tyson to me. He would just, you know, he was going to say something that was just going to be funny for no reason whatsoever. I mean, with Trump, I see the potential for that. He's a little bit more polished media-wise, so you're not going to get that foolishness that you got from George Bush because he's just unintelligent. But Trump is going to put some serious material out there. It's going to be funny every week. So I believe in the immortal words of Bobby Knight. If rape is inevitable, just sit back and enjoy it. That's Trump presidency. I'm going on break on that. This is the homies HISD rocking, a.k.a. Space Up.
Like baked stock rockin', see face on flyers like they trying to exhale, but they still waiting. Wait, what's up? Faced up, change my eating habits. We exercise daily, more brain for your cabbage. My mind stays free, the Scotty P90. X to the next, like I put shit behind me. My own horn too, we in line with flu. To boot, bass, kick, Bobby Hump to the loose. Ear ring like who? This be the flame. We the taste of Texas, expensive for your plate. New water on the rocks, it's tasting so great. Seen green, not cheap, we drive by you skate. You reflect Lando, fit Marlon Brando. Godfather with a mic, like how I handle. Man, lace up, lace up, moon water, go, go. Throne in the hydrocarbon zone, gliding on Drexler, 22 styrofoam. Welcome to the H's, is that Mr. Poindexter? Sitting on, sipping on, ripping on hair. Wood, that's mahogany. Sipping to the black embassy, where's equality? Feeling like a pilgrim in a colony. Boardwalk, board talk, building up the property. Building up monopoly, homestead raised me. Now I'm savvy franchise, but they can't trade me. Old colors high up from slavery. Book of Talaferro, pop Dixon, baby. Souls in the ocean and we rockin', knockin'. Pictures off the wall, painting pictures in the hall, y'all. Images fall, y'all. Say it's up. Scott P rockin', Savvy rockin', Equality rockin'. I'm feeling good. Elder Voice rockin', King Midas rockin', Soul One rockin'. I'm feeling good. Double field on the one, all you smelling where I'm coming from. Hot cookies, stove top, took down for the cops, got bacon, so that hot spoon, cold vein. Cannibal lock, the right side of bad brains, yep, that's how we rock. Hard enough to make the beans be right on the spot, right off the block that auctions off great granny and daddy. Play super rhythm, a rhythm that beat niggas and candy. Black trunk, poop the bills, candy painted my stove, man, go, listen here, watching me rock well, Norman Lear. Good times, we in no fear. Look here, I hear. Oh, it's all here.
don't figure that. Suppress thoughts into words to convict your rap. Flow steady, you're the one. Pursue, bring the synergy. Magnetic, aesthetic, fourth chord, slow melodies. Explode energies, I see, I be, he running up. MC laced up, faced up, drawn off the full water, slurring these words, but I'm still slaughter on snap. Filling these gaps when the mic pass, touched down. Mother shit breaks up, pitch down, be out.
Rockin', say funny rockin', all big rockin'. I'm feeling good. The KO rockin', E-Yacht rockin', Cosmos rockin'. You feeling good? Speedboats rockin', King Cars rockin', Concise Kill rockin'. Radio Galaxy rockin', Bun B rockin', Smoke Still rockin'.
Together you got to move. Drummer, smooth drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drummer with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was the homies, HISD, rocking, aka Space Up, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. Oh, man. Groundhog Day. You know, something that happens for smooth drama purposes. Groundhog Day is always something racist that happens. That has always happened. Looking out for the homies. It's like one of them. For example, San Francisco police chief fired, disgraced, well, not fired, but he resigned. Greg Sir, you know, he's the one that resigned from San Francisco Police Department last year because of the racism and police brutality scandal. Golden State Warriors have hired him as their security advisor for the team. So apparently, they felt like they wanted to harass the team, you know, black players in particular, make them feel unsure and uneasy about themselves. You hire the guy who to protect you. Be your security advisor that made black folks in the Bay Area feel uneasy. So I guess I'm saying if you have this guy there, you don't have to worry about black folks attacking the Golden State Warriors. I don't know. But why would you hire this guy as your security advisor? It's like it rings of what we say, bad karma. You bring bad people into your organization, bad things happen. I mean, I'm not gonna guarantee it, but I'm like, damn, I almost absolutely want to say that there's no way in hell they can win the title this year just because of this right here. I was already down on them because of Kevin Durant. I mean, as a person, he seems like a cool person. As a player, he seems like a cool player. But just stuck in my craw that he went to a team that beat him. I mean, that just, it made my stomach hurt inside. Because it's like the non-competitor. You know, and every guy that I've talked to basketball-wise says the same thing. I mean, the younger cats say we hate him, but I don't know. It is stuck in my craw, and it sticks in everyone's craw who talks about it with the same mentality. So when I see a Greg Sir who was not he was not beloved as police chief. They hire him as their security advisor, bringing that bad karma their way. I don't know. But I'm almost guarantee that it's not gonna end well for them. Not in the way, I'm hoping it don't end well as far as some bad shit happening. I'm saying they just don't win the title. I can't see it. When you bring negative juju around, it just permeates throughout the team. But that's just me. Speaking of negative juju, I couldn't believe Vivica Fox. She opened up an all-male strip club, and it's in her new reality series, Vivica's Black Magic. And she came out. She was on the Breakfast Club, and the host asked if gays could attend her new all-male strip show, which of course is like set up. But you know, when they asked, you know, she's like, "Hell no." And she said, because there's no need to. They dance for women. It's called the Ultimate Girls Night Out for a reason. Now, after that, she said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't really mean it like that. Walked it back and was like, you know, that's not what I meant, but at the same time, you know, it's like, hey, you just say, hey, it's the ultimate girls' night out. I wouldn't have said it. It's like, hey, if some gay dudes want to come up in there and get their money up, by all means, do your thing. Doesn't matter. But I know what she was saying. It's girls' night out. So if it's girls' night out, more than likely, 9 times out of 10, maybe you may have had one gay guy, because it's like women hang out and they have like that one gay friend. I don't think that it would have been inundated with like gay dudes and no women can get in. I'm just thinking that it just wouldn't have went down like that. You know, because you can have girls' night out and then maybe you have gay night. Whatever. I don't know. Don't care. Not my thing, but the fact that she had to go and backpedal with it, I just hate that. It's like, look, say what you mean. Hey, girls' night out. You only want women there, not dudes pretending to be women. Real women. That's it. Just say what you mean. Stick it. I mean, one, it's a reality series, so who knows if she wasn't doing that for publicity so that people would actually watch the show, which I still will not. As far as going to the strip show, hey, if people go, more power to them. If people watch, more power to you. But, yeah, I'll pass. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I don't know why I'm talking about this anyway. It doesn't make sense at all. What I should be talking about is, no, most of you know about Hidden Figures, the show, well, the movie, actually, about the women behind the NASA launch that actually made it happen. Well, Taraji Henson was talking about, after reading the script, how she was hurt, and it left her crying. She said, I was hurt because growing up as a young girl, there was an understanding that math and science were for boys. So I immediately felt like a dream had been stolen from me. She said, after I got the script, I was like, wow, that's horrible. Because what if I was allowed to dream to be a rocket scientist? Who knows where my life would be? And, you know, she goes on to say she decided to take on the role in the effort to inspire young girls to become more active in math and science. And, you know, it resonates with me because, once again, we talk about the negative portrayals of ourselves in these different shows. You know, I have my rule about these TV shows. One, if there's one black person in it and they kill that black person, I automatically stop watching that show. It's like I have a rule. I have to stick to my guns. It's been like some shows that I actually liked, and it's like they had the one black person and they just kill that person. And I'm like, damn, why? You only got one. Can we just have one? But, you know, asking too much for one. So we talk about the negative portrayals of black people in movies and TV shows. I mean, you know, it's always, you say it's like one. And if it's more than one, only one of them is speaking. They'll flash the other one. I remember the one Stephen King show, The Dome, where specifically there weren't really a lot of black. The one black dude that was a DJ got killed, and when they were going to hang the guy, they was going to hang a white dude on the show, and they showed black folks. And I'm like, why you gotta show black folks when they're hanging people? It was just. I'm sensitive. So I saw it. I was like, And as you know, it's always gangsters. Some negative portrayals, like, you know, there's some of us who don't aspire to that. We don't aspire to be Scarface. We don't love Scar. I may be one of the three black people on earth who don't love Scarface. I've watched it a couple times. I don't get it. He's a drug dealer. He shot a lot of people. Say hello to my little friend. I'm not feeling it, but I'm a comic book nerd. And, you know, as someone who's, as you say, alternative cat, I guess in some circles they would say, well, I'm bougie because I don't like black stuff. I don't know what that means. Don't really care, because you know I see it the opposite way. I say if you go by what society portrays you as, then you're the one wearing blackface, because that's not really you. That ain't all you, and that ain't what you can be. Be more. We can aspire to be more than that, because not all of us have dope boy dreams of being on the corner and flashing our money and riding in rims. Some of us actually like tangible things like reading and, you know, positive portrayals and images of ourselves. One of those strange things, and it's not that we're bougie, whatnot. It just, hey, we have a mind of our own. And what society says we can be, we ascribe to not be. Because if we were to be what society wants us to be, shit, we just talking about jail, right? Gangsterism and working for free. And this is what Taraji Henson is talking about. Hey. We could, if we see these other examples, we can aspire to be multifaceted things. That's what's missing. You're in a different light. And so I think it's important that we see ourselves as whoever we want to be. And there's no negativity to that. And on that note, for my homies, Sid, Linda, and all my San Diego crew, this is Mr. After N-Word. It's another Smooth Drum production. And I'm out. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.